Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 260. And my guest for today is Rebecca from Minnesota, USA. And as you'll hear, her dream is one, and I think I mentioned it at some point during the dream, it's one that if you are an artist, a painter, a craftsperson of any kind, I think you might be running for your workbench, because there are parts of the dream that are just beautiful pictures. There are parts of the dream that are points where you could jump off and just do amazing art. And of course, that's not what we're exploring in the dream, but it is just such a beautiful, evocative dream to tell. And we go into it beautifully, evocatively as well, I hope, and bring out lots of deep insights for Rebecca. I know all of this because we've just finished recording that part of the show, and I'm here at the beginning, putting on the beginning of the show, because as you know, if you're a regular listener, and if you're not a regular listener, this is how it works. When we have a guest on the show, you put up your hand, you volunteer to be a guest on the show. We do it by Zoom audio, so there's no visuals. You're completely confidential and anonymous, apart from your name and where you come from. And you, when you tell your dream, it's the first time I've heard it, because we know from what you as listeners tell us that you like to hear the dream. You like to hear me hear the dream at the same time as you hear the dream, and you like to see what steps we take to go from there. If you consult me by Zoom privately, I ask you to send me the dream ahead of time to give me time to look at it and explore it a bit on my own before we explore it together. But what you get in the dream show is straight jump in, let's explore this, let's see where we go, let's see what comes out of it. And of course, you not only gather tips about how to explore and understand and interpret your dreams as we go, but hopefully you also get inspired by listening to someone else explore their dream and what they gain from it, and some of the things that they gain from it are often applicable to many people listening in if the subject resonates as well. So I know you'll enjoy this one. Before we go there, the website address is janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. Is where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. And of course, you can also listen always to the most recent ones on all the usual podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically all of them. And to find it quickly, search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson. At janeteresa.com is also where you go to read hundreds of blogs that I've written about dreams and dreaming. It's where you go to find out about my books. I've written 7 books. Or is it 8 books? I've lost count. It's also where you go to work to find out how you can contact me for a private consultation. And it's also where you go to find out about the courses. But you can go to my course website platform directly for the courses also. It's called the Dream Academy. And the website address for the Dream Academy is dream-academy-online.com, where you'll find all sorts of courses that you can do by yourself in your own time, at your own pace, beginning with the first one, how to interpret your dreams step by step. But let's stop taking little steps. Let's take a great big jump into Rebecca's dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And you are in, tell us where you live, where you are.
Minnesota, in the U.S.
And I think you told me when you put your hand up to volunteer to be a guest that it's known as the land of the 10,000 lakes.
Yes, it is. And there was actually a piece on our local news that we actually have over 12,000.
Oh, it's gone up. Those lakes are multiplying. Oh, that's fun. And are you near a lake yourself?
Yes, there is water. I'm not on a big lake, but we have one within, you know, like a couple miles.
Oh, that's always lovely. I love to be near water. I love to know that I can go to water if I need to go to water.
Yes, I am the same.
Rebecca, as you know, I have no idea what your dream is. So the floor is yours.
In the dream, I was a group leader at some kind of camp and was in charge of a small group of adults. We were having a share your talent event. It was held on one side of a high bank over a river, with the participants performing either in the river or by floating in the air with the spectators watching from the high bank. The
Wow.
first participant to go was a woman in my group who was very quiet and introverted. She had curly black chin-length hair and dark eyes. She began sharing her talent by floating down a warm spring-fed river, which was filled with dense green vegetation with lots of ferns and trees. She began singing this achingly beautiful song that was haunting and ethereal, and I was entranced as the song floated up in a beautiful, haunting manner. All of a sudden, in front of us at eye level were beautiful little designs like fireworks and flowers popping out of the mist from the water droplets. This was part of her talent, creating forms with her songs. I was surprised and delighted. Then a woman with long raven black hair appeared very suddenly and interrupted the first woman's performance. She was floating above the river and posed upright with one arm bent at the elbow and one leg bent at the knee. In the dream, I thought of this as a figure four. We all intuitively knew she was doing a crane dance. She was creating this beautiful piercing crane call as she flipped and turned high in the air. While I was enjoying this performance, I was disappointed that the first woman's offering was interrupted by her. I continued to keep my eye on the first woman as she floated far down the river. Suddenly, a third woman aggressively appeared in the sky, right above the second woman. I was shocked at how aggressively she began doing somersaults in the air, with her long blonde hair actually brushing over the crane dancer's face, and it looked as if she would knock her out of the sky. I was very relieved when the blonde-haired woman didn't collide with the crane dancer. I was appalled at how rudely she appeared and interrupted the crane dancer's performance. When I awoke from this dream, I felt sad that the first woman's performance got interrupted, as I was left with such a delightful feeling of having heard and witnessed her beautiful song and magical mist creations.
Wow, that beautifully painted, I felt that was a painting as you described it, Rebecca, a beautifully painted dream there, so evocative. That's extraordinary and beautiful. And we were just talking about water, and you're bringing a dream featuring rivers and floating above the water as well, which is just gorgeous. A crane dancer, is that a particular type of dance, or is a ceremony? Tell me about a crane dance.
I have no idea. It was totally a dream.
Okay.
Crane thing.
I'm thinking crane dance. I know there's a crane pose in yoga. Do you do yoga?
I do yoga, but I don't know that we've ever done a crane pose.
Okay, because as far as I can recall, the crane pose is actually lifting one knee up in a bent fashion, but not with a bent arm, which you also had. So I was just exploring there to see if you had an association with a crane posture in yoga. What do you think about cranes?
Well, we do have them here. And so they are usually, we have sand cranes. And so they're kind of a brown color, and they're actually very large birds. And usually you'll see them in pairs in like fields, but like it seems like usually the fields are pretty empty, and then you just see the two of them, and you do have to, they blend in pretty well. So I usually have pretty sharp eyes, so I do see them, but no real affinity to cranes prior to this dream.
Yeah, the only other thing that strikes me, and some people might be thinking about it, so I'll mention it, but it's kind of out of character for that dream person, is origami paper cranes, which are traditionally made for as signs of peace. You know the little origami?
Yeah, I do know
yeah.
origami. Oh, that's beautiful.
Paper cranes, yeah, and people make them, particularly, I think they probably originated in Asia, and people make these tiny little paper cranes and hang them on trees and hang them around the place as a symbol of peace. But as I said, that doesn't sound like your woman in the dream there. And also, that was just me mentioning that, our symbols are our own personal symbols, and that wasn't yours. You're not associated with that, so we'll put that to one side for the moment. So you've got you're the group leader at a camp, and it's mostly adults. Adults of all ages.
Well, it was interesting because it was actually a kids' camp, and for some reason, the other two leaders had kids, and I had this small group of adults. So, in the dream, I think it was three adults.
Just three people. Three people and three performers as well. So you were there as a kind of side leader. The adults had brought their kids and they were doing their thing, and you were taking them to one side.
Well, no, they were like part of the camp. Like, I don't know why I had adults, but like they
Okay.
came as participants.
Right, so they were participating at a kids' camp, basically.
Yes.
Ah, right. Because you started by saying I'm a group leader at a camp and it's adults, so I didn't realize there were children there as well.
Yes. I was
Well,
trying to keep the dream shorter, so I
oh no,
was like, okay,
that's
how can
okay.
I
That's
make
good.
this more succinct?
And even that's important, not keeping it shorter, but what you decide to say. When we're talking about a dream, our unconscious mind often joins in and goes, well, this is what we really want to talk about. So the fact that even though it was a kids' camp, there were adults there. And they were having a share your talent. You had a high bank over the river. I love that some of them were floating in the air and some were in the river. So before the first woman came on, did you see lots of people in the river and lots of people floating in the air?
No, she was. It was like the event started, and one of the people in my group, the first participant, was the very first to go,
Right,
and the
okay.
river was completely empty.
Yeah. So the three adults in your group were the three adults that were performing?
I think just the first one for sure, possibly the crane dancer, but not the third.
Love it.
She
So
kind of appeared out of nowhere.
nowhere. Okay. So what I'm sort of getting the impression already is number one, the first one to appear is what you are more conscious of in your life. We will go into this, of course. The second one, maybe she wasn't from my group, but she's kind of know her, is something that I'm not entirely conscious of, but it's there. And the third one that appears out of nowhere is probably more reflective of an unconscious level, three levels of a similar situation, because we've also got, in essence, here a dream motif. So a motif is a recurring theme within a dream. So even though each of these performers gave a different performance and they interacted with each other, we could say that it's got a recurring theme where there are three performers that come on to do their thing. So we've got it's as if the dream is exploring something, and the first run is this is what I'm conscious of. The second run is this is what I'm kind of know a bit about, and the third run is, oh my goodness me, that is shocking. Where did that come from? Which is lovely, and we'll get there shortly, but it may be a lovely and wonderful deep shadow part of your unconscious mind, which we all have, these parts of ourselves that we don't really want other people to see, so we keep them down there. But she came out quite aggressively in this performance, and that may or may not be a good thing. We'll find out. I also was very captivated, considering particularly that you just said, oh, I want to keep this dream short to introduce it, that you went into such lovely detail of all the hair.
That was I noticed that too.
Yeah. So let's go. We've got number one. We're just taking the magic out of the dream first. We'll come back to the magic. We're just looking at the sort of the everyday details. Number one had curly hair and brown eyes. And I think you said the curly hair was about chin length, did you?
Correct, and it was
Yeah.
black.
And it was black. Just write that down. I couldn't write everything down while you were speaking. And then the second one had longer hair. And did you describe that as raven coloured?
Yes, Raven Black.
Raven and crane, two birds. And the third one had long blonde hair.
Correct, and it was actually knowing this, it was actually a brassy color, so it wasn't a pretty blonde.
Yeah, brassy color. I love it. So if she was from the depths of your unconscious, she didn't come out in a shadowy kind of black. She came out in full brassy, aggressive mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Was the brassy hair longer than the raven hair?
No.
Okay. So we go from the curly chin length, you specifically said chin length, to number two had long hair. What are your feelings about, in general, about, say, chin length hair and long hair?
Well, I have had both. And so I think they're both very attractive. Good opinions on both.
Yeah, good opinions on both. Different for different circumstances. In what parts of your life might you have had chin length hair? Or, mm-hmm. you know, for a purpose, or just it just happened that way?
I would choose it. Style-wise, when I was like 8, and then again at 15, and then before I started my professional career, and then again when I had my children, I kept it shorter, and so in between all those times, then I let it grow long.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So you, in between those times, so we take the childhood out of it just for the moment. We may come back, but what you've really got there is professional appearance and mm-hmm. also practicality with the kids. And mm-hmm. in between, when you weren't doing professional appearance and practicality, I guess as a child it was a bit of practicality there. In between all of that, you had long. Well, I don't know. Some people think long hair is practical. How do you feel about long hair?
It's actually, I think, easier than when I had chin length, because, you know, I think that, you know, I can pull it back or put it in a bun, and it's just easier than having to actually, like, blow dry it with the brush every day to, like, style it.
Yes. Okay. So we've got the opposite of what I was suggesting then. Times when you've had the chin style, are times when you've chosen to have that style for professional opinion or something around the kids. But in between time, when you want a more practical approach, you just let it grow. You just let it flow. You have lovely long hair. And you're obviously much better than me whenever I had long hair, because I found it very difficult to put it up in buns and things. So for you, it's nice and easy and long and flowing. I love that. Okay, so let's go to the first one, who had definitely had black hair, and it was curly hair. Okay, so the crane dancer had long hair. Was it straight or curly?
Straight.
It was straight. And the brassy blonde was straight as well?
Yes.
So how do you feel about curly hair?
I think curly hair is pretty. I have straight hair personally, and there are often times where I like my straight hair, but I wish, you know, like we all do.
Yeah.
Some curls, natural curls would be nice.
Wish for some natural curls because, just because they look pretty or because of other reasons?
Probably they look pretty.
Yeah. So we've got our first performer. Now, she was above the river, or was she in the river?
She was in the river.
She was in the river. Then the crane lady was above the river, and the brassy coloured lady was above her as well.
Correct.
Mm. So even though I'm sort of seeing it as conscious, partly conscious and unconscious, it's almost as if they're appearing in reverse order in the dream, but we'll come to that. Okay, so our first one is in the river. And she has curly hair, which is associated with natural beauty and something that you sometimes wish that you had. I wish that I sometimes had natural curls like that. Mm-hmm. I wish sometimes that I had a natural talent, maybe, like this amazing talent that she's got. I'm focusing on the word natural there, which is really lovely. And she floats down the river, but the river has got full of vegetation and ferns and trees.
Those are on the sides. Yeah,
oh, they're on the sides
of the banks. But the water looks, because of the reflection, it's like a deep green.
Okay. That's beautiful. So there was the reflection of all the plants in the water, which was
Yes.
part of the beauty.
Yes.
So it's almost as if she's reflective in a way, isn't it? Making a reflective journey because of the achingly beautiful song and the entrancement. There's a sort of reflective beginning, which I really love. And then suddenly, you had three suddenlies when you told a dream. One was suddenly there were fireworks and flowers. Then there was suddenly the crane dancer appeared. And then there was suddenly, I think you said suddenly again there, the
Yes, the
aggressive
third
one
woman.
appeared. So there was a sense of, and because the theme was a talent camp. It's possible that this dream was you exploring what are my Rebecca's talents? What deeper talents do I have? Which talents do I express? What talents do I not express? How do I feel about my talents? I think it is as clear as that, but it may be what I hide, what I don't hide, what I have. And I love that up front is this obviously beautiful, entrancing, surgingly, achingly beautiful song that comes out of this voice, which is associated with the haircut, which is, I wish I sometimes had natural curls like that. I would love that. At the time of the dream, was there any sense in which you were either feeling very much in the flow with a voice to express, or wishing that you had more of a voice to express?
No, I think I was just very much lost in what she was creating with her voice. And I wanted to stay with that. And then when the mist designs popped through, the fireworks and like flowers and little designs, I was like very delighted because I could still hear the music.
So you had the hearing and the visuals together.
Yes, and the visuals were really delightful, but I would say when I woke from the dream, what the feeling was, it was one of delight because it was so beautiful, but I was very sad that she got interrupted and like her song was interrupted.
To me, there's a feeling there. It's like, everyone in a dream represents something about ourselves. So there's a feeling there that I, Rebecca, do have a voice of some kind. It may not be a singing voice. It may be what you express in some area of your life. I have a voice which I'm sort of beginning to recognize and I feel quite comfortable with. I can kind of go with the flow with it. Sometimes it may or may not be a chin length curly hair kind of thing. It may be something that I'm aware that I have to style to suit my audience or to suit my work or whatever it is. So, there's something that I can bring into this that I have to curate, I guess, in a way. There's that sense. It's achingly beautiful. And yet, every time I really try to draw on this, I feel like I'm interrupted in some way. And because in the dream you said I sort of felt lost in watching this come up and listening, and you got the listening followed by the visuals of the fireworks and the flowers coming out of the water droplets. There's this feeling of something evolving from it. Something that I can maybe just hear is suddenly evolving into something that I can see. Something that you can see almost is more tangible, more material. So this sense of evolution the fireworks and the flowers were bursting out from the tiny water droplets. So it's like, from the smallest drop of water, as in a river is really many, many drops of water, from a small water droplet, so much can suddenly appear. So much can sort of come out of this. And I keep getting the word calling because in the dream she's singing in a kind of, as you say, achingly beautiful. It's almost an evocative kind of calling voice. And we start the dream with looking at people's talents. So, when we're looking for our calling or we're exploring something about our calling or we're looking to see where our calling might next what it might next evolve into or where we might be called next. We could say that we're drawing on our talents, whether they're talents that we feel that we've made for ourselves or whether we feel there are natural born talents, just as natural curly hair is something that you would like to have sometimes. So for me, the beginning of this dream seems to be that it's almost like I can sense there's something in my calling, which I do know, but it's far more beautiful and far more achingly beautiful than I, Rebecca, realize. And it's just at a stage where actually I could call it more into being. I could make it more tangible. I could bring the fireworks and flowers from the smallest droplet of water. And yet, although I sense this kind of calling, I feel sad because something keeps getting in the way of it and interrupting it.
Yes, that very much resonates. And I think because this is kind of just coming to the surface as you're exploring it with me, there's a lot more processing. But yes, on a deep level, that very much resonates.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So we'll go to the next two stages and see what, according to the dream, according to your unconscious mind, is interrupting this evolution of your calling or evolution of what it is that you're giving or developing or would wish to develop. And you know, a reminder that when we're looking at a dream, we're looking at like a snapshot of this is you at this moment. I should ask when you had the dream.
Yes, it was July 28th of this year. A couple of weeks ago.
So you'll be able to think back that easily. And of course, the dream is a snapshot of our conscious and unconscious mindset at that time. It's not a judgment of what is the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. It enables us to look in and say, what is it that I, Rebecca, feel is interrupting me? How do I judge those things that are interrupting me, like the brassy blonde, for example? What are my feelings about that aspect of myself that are interrupting me? Maybe it is a bit brassy. Maybe I don't like that. Or actually, maybe it's something really good. Well, we'll come to that. So we'll come to number two, the first interruption. And I'm intrigued, and I'm sure many of the listeners are by now, that you described a hare as raven black and you saw as the crane dance. So can you talk to me about ravens as birds?
Yes, I actually, we have more crows here. And I'm actually, I really have a lot of fun watching them. They're actually pretty, I know they're extremely intelligent, but they're actually pretty humorous. And so, you know, it's definitely a positive association.
That's beautiful. I love that. So because a lot of people don't feel that about crows at all.
Right, I know.
A lot of people see them as interrupting, loud-mouthed. I don't. I actually like them. I like to hear a crow call, but I know that that's not how everybody feels. So intelligent yet humorous you've got there. So the fact that she had raven hair, even though it may have just been a way to describe the hair as black, as I say, when we're talking about a dream, the unconscious mind does often join in. And, you know, you described the first woman's hair as black, and yet you describe this one as raven. So there is a sort of sense for saying that. If you could compare ravens and cranes, both are near home. Well, the crows and cranes are both in your home environment. Which do you prefer?
Probably more like a crane. They seem very quiet, and even just in their environment, they seem like they move very gently, where the crows, I very much enjoy them, but probably personality-wise, am probably more like a crane.
Yes. So we've got the raven or the crows, which are intelligent and humorous. And yet, because the raven does a crane dance, we'll call her the raven, because the raven does a crane dance, you've got this feeling that she's intelligent and humorous and yet tries to take on more the embodiment of the quiet, gentle crane. She's trying to dance to be a crane.
Yes, and her movements, though, were very... like with her arm bent, it would be like the figure four, because it was like her hand was against her waist and her elbow out. And then the knee rather than like the yoga pose where it's straight, you know, out in front of you and bent. It was more like tree pose where it was like making the figure four. And so her movements were probably more like a crow where they were, they weren't soft and gentle. They were very definite and assertive.
And yet you don't see cranes as definite or assertive at all. That's very interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So, sorry, my mind's going busy now, going, well, there's cranes, like there's mechanical cranes, and one cranes one neck to try to see something. But I still keep coming back to that sort of pair of opposites, which, as you know, when we look at a dream, if you find a pair of opposites, it often describes an issue. And we've got almost intelligent, humorous, or noisy on one hand, and quiet and gentle. Oh, you can be intelligent and humorous and gentle as well. What am I saying? But, you know, there seem to be two opposites here.
Well, and like the cranes blend in too. I think that's another thing with the quiet and gentle. You could very easily miss them because they so blend in with their environment.
I love it. Okay. So if we flip back to woman number one, who wasn't a crane, she definitely didn't blend in with her environment. You really heard her. But prior to you hearing her, she might have blended into her environment because she got the hair to suit the job. She came down the river. It was very quiet to begin with. And gradually you heard this voice, and then gradually, and then it worked into the fireworks. And it's kind of coming up and up and up. So it's almost as if she's coming from blending in to speaking out. But just before it gets really interesting, Raven Crane comes along. And Raven Crane is maybe trying to do the crane dance, trying to do the blending in dance, but can't do it because she's a raven. So there's a sense there that the first interruption is, well, if you're going to have this calling, or if you're going to evolve your calling in this way, you're going to evolve this talent in your way, maybe you're not going to be able to do it in a blending in kind of way. Maybe you're going to have to do it in a standing out kind of way, even though you see that as an interruption at the moment. An interruption to what we'll find out later. So associated with that, we've got this idea of the figure four. So what does a four or the number four mean to you?
I think about numerology, and I know that that's usually like balance, systems, like following a set of systems to get something accomplished. I would say that's the largest association.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Interesting, the first one's balanced too, because there's that picture of her with a hand on the hip and then the opposite leg in tree pose. There's a sort of sense of balance even in the body there.
I hadn't thought that.
Yeah. So she came in, and we'll ignore the fact that she's interrupting at the moment. She came in to do her thing. She was floating higher in the air. So what sense did you get? Why had she chosen to float in the air above the river, did you feel in the dream?
The dance she was doing, because she was doing like flips and turns high in the air. And so she was like at eye level. So she definitely wanted to be seen like at eye level.
Yes. Okay. So it wasn't anything about the air and the water per se. It was that she wanted to be seen, to be at eye level, and she wanted to be seen big with the flips and the turns as well. So she definitely wasn't doing blending in, and she wasn't doing quietly but amazingly and beautifully evocative. She was doing something really quite out there.
Yes, because she also did like a beautiful piercing crane call. So along with the dance, she also had this beautiful piercing crane call, and it was more a solid call that the tone, you know, kind of changed a little bit, but it was more like a solid note.
In what way did the tone change?
Pardon me?
In what way did the tone change?
The turn?
The tone. T-O-N-E.
Oh, the tone.
Yeah. My accent, sorry.
kind of from more of a steady to a little bit lower.
Yeah. Okay, so almost a sort of slight grounding there. So notice that you, in the crane call, you obviously used the word call, so we're back to that sense of a calling again as well. With the crane call that she was trying to do, which for you, the crane is quieter and gentler, and yet she's making a very solid, definite call and maybe lowering the tone slightly, not as in lowering the tone, but as in grounding it slightly. But a very clear call. So the first one had the entrancing song emerging, got to listen carefully kind of call. And this one is quite a piercing, I think you said, quite a piercing call.
Yes.
I just want to return very briefly to the fact that at the end of performer number one, you suddenly had the fireworks and the flowers. So things were right there and they were actually at eye level and in your face. And so it's not really surprising that that's where the Raven Crane Lady came, because she was at eye level and in your face as well. So although she interrupted the beautiful, soft and quiet song, she was like the next step. She was like the next evolution here. And yet, as a number four, you associate her with systems that you have to put in place to get things accomplished. So there's a sense of retracking. Number one, absolutely amazing, beautiful, miraculous, evocative, evolving. To number two, right, let's get this out there. Let's get this done. Oh, but what about the lovely reflective calling? No, well, that was the lovely reflective calling phase. I know you really like that, but this is get out there and get it done. Get it done. Be practical. Flip and turn. And then we might just leave Raven Crane for a moment and jump to the brassy blonde hair. Oh, what happened to the first dancer while the Raven Crane dancer was happening?
Yes, so I continued to watch her float down the river. So she just kept floating farther down, but she was no longer singing once the Raven Crane dancer started.
Had appeared, okay. So once again, it's that sense that, so there was that reflective flow and this calling and this evocative sense that then developed the fireworks and into the Raven Crane. So that aspect went downstream and this new aspect emerged, but you weren't entirely happy about this new emergence.
Yes, I could say too, I'm much more comfortable as you've explored this with me, with how the first woman operates.
Yeah. You like to be reflective and quiet and bring out something beautiful into the world without necessarily bringing it right to eye level and making it huge.
Yes.
Yeah. it's a huge dilemma. It's absolutely a huge dilemma, particularly in the first one where you could see where it's evolving. I mean, I love the magic of that. One single water droplet can produce something amazing and colourful and visual and tangible. But sometimes we have to, no matter how comfortable we are with that, if we want it to be of use to the world, we have to sing it out. We have to bring it out and make it big and make it colourful and make it practical, get things accomplished. Maybe, or maybe we don't. Maybe we don't have to accomplish things. Maybe there's a sadness in the dream because I'm feeling that I have to get out there and accomplish something. And actually, that's not really what I want to do at the moment. I want to return to reflective and spend more time in that energy because I feel that something even bigger is coming from that and I'm not ready to speak it out yet. We don't know. You could see the dilemma in there. We'll see where the dream goes. How do you feel about that so far?
Yes, I think you're right on.
Yeah. So we bring it up a notch and we bring in long brassy blonde hair. So, although we can probably all guess, talk to me about long brassy blonde hair.
I think it was just, the color was just not well done because it wasn't natural blonde and it was like brassy. It was like, colored hair, not well done.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So that would be something that, I wouldn't choose to have.
Yes. So we've got a beautiful contrast there between the first one who had curls that you say there are sometimes I wish I had natural curls. And the third one, whose hair was not natural.
Right.
So we've got that contrast between what is natural to me, to Rebecca, and what does not feel natural. And then we've also got Raven Crane Lady is a number four. So she's about, in your relation to that symbol, the number four, she's about set accomplishments, getting things done, and presumably getting things done well, whereas brassy hair is not well done. So we've got not natural, not well done, and also aggressive. And there was a shock in there. You were shocked. And she was also, can you describe to me and us all again how her hair was interfering with the Raven Crane Lady?
So she was, she came on the scene doing somersaults, and she somersaulted, and the word I had was like steamrolled. She like somersaulted over the crane woman. And so her long blonde hair like brushed over the crane dancer's face. Mm-hmm. And it looked like she was going to knock her out of the sky, but she didn't. And I was very relieved when she didn't collide with the crane dancer, but I was just appalled.
Yeah, appalled. And did you wake up still in a state of being appalled with what she was doing, or did her performance come to an end in some way?
Yes, it. I woke up after she steamrolled over the crane woman, but didn't knock her out of the sky. So I woke up very relieved that she hadn't. And so, yes, it was more than what I was left with, was the sadness over the first participant getting interrupted.
I love it. So with a somersault, is somersault something that you do? You somersault?
I did as a child, and I do practice yoga regularly, so not necessarily full somersaults, but there's getting out of moves, sometimes rolling forward for fun.
Yes. So you see somersaults as a talent that you've got, but that you do for fun?
Not a full somersault anymore at my age. I enjoyed it very much as a child, and I would say when I do the rolling during yoga, I very much do think it's fun.
Yes, yeah. That's interesting, because it takes us back almost to the beginning of the dream, which was a kids' camp, but you were dealing with the adults. Yeah. So somersaults, kids, was it a summer camp by any chance? Somersaults?
Summer out, because here in, we have winter about 6 months of the year, so it was summer.
Summer. So, we could go back to the beginning of the dream and say it's about a camp which is about not only about talent development that you were doing there, but also about fun. What is fun? And our last participant in the talent show, Miss Brassy Long Hair, comes in and does a few fun somersaults. So she's in a fun mode, but all this fun steamrolls and aggressively threatens everything else. And it's not well done, and it's not natural. So it's out there trying to do something that should be fun, but is interfering with everybody. And basically, or you fear that it is interrupting everybody to an end, which is not well done. So we could read through the dream and say, on the one hand, you're in at the time of the dream, you relish the reflective, contemplative life that you have and the beautiful talents that come out of that. And you can see more and more of your calling evolving from that, and you would love to stay there. And yet, with that evolving, there's a sense of, oh dear, but I would have to get out and make a song and dance about this. And not sure how I feel about that. I'd have to all be about following formulas, number four, to accomplish things. Not really sure how I feel about that. And yet there is also, with the crows, that reference to intelligent and humorous I'd written down there. So, maybe a feeling of, if I get this out in the world, I'd have to make sure that I'm always intelligent and humorous and bring this in. Not sure how I'm really feeling about this. And yet I can find a sense of there's a piercing kind of call. I could almost narrow down my, the sort of full range of the calling that I feel in the one, in woman number one, I could in woman number two bring down to one piercing note, one definite following, and yet I'm not sure about the work that I would have to put into that and the eye level that I'd have to, I'd have to really be seen and heard doing this. And then on the third level, you then worry ahead, but oh my God, if I really, you know, extrapolate that, oh, it's, I'm going to be trying to make it all look fun and it's not going to be well done. It's not going to be natural. And I really, really, really would like to do something that's natural to me. So it's not to say that if you were to decide to take whatever it is, Rebecca, out there and make a big song and dance about it and getting it out there, it's not saying that it wouldn't be good. It's not saying that if you did that, you might in fact tune into your natural abilities. You might surprise yourself. There might be fireworks and flowers all around. You might do something extraordinarily beautiful. And your dream might just be showing you the inner critic parts of yourself that are saying, I can't do that. I wouldn't be like that. I'd be like steamrollering. and maybe those parts of yourself might be right. Maybe that's not your where you are best suited. Maybe you are best suited in the contemplative flow. But because the dream shows us these parts of ourselves, and we've then got to decide, is steamroller lady a part of yourself that really does exist, that you are, that you don't want to bring out there, that you feel would destroy everything? Or are you looking at her wrong? Are you judging her? Is she actually something amazing? What I get from, I'm going to ask you what you get from the dream, but what I get from all of that is that whatever through line you take, and I feel it would be a through line because the dream is investigating that. There's got to be an evolution here somewhere. That the through line for me would be through finding, narrowing it down. This sounds an odd thing to say, but narrowing it down to the piercing one call that is so loud and so piercing that it doesn't feel like a narrowing. It's more a focus. It goes further. It gets out there. But then I'd be checking myself all along the way. Is what I'm doing still fun for me? Does it feel natural for me? If it doesn't, is there something I can do to make it feel natural? Or is it something that I definitely don't want to do because it's unnatural? Is there a part of me that needs to evolve to feel more natural and more comfortable or not? And I'd be looking at what are my fears about steamrollering other people, or what are my fears about steamrollering myself? Mm-hmm. Where do you feel at the moment about the dream?
Yes, I think I've been sitting with, because I love what I have been doing, and it's deep, deep work, and it's very fulfilling. But I think then, you know, I'm sitting with, okay, is there something more? Is there another avenue to open up? You know, am I being invited to something more? And there isn't anything necessarily concrete. I have these various interests, but I have been sitting with, okay, what's next? Or is there something more? And kind of questioning that.
Mm. Which is, keep going.
And so I do in the one piercing call, like it could get down to just that very much resonates too. And I think the third woman would be me steamrolling myself. Like if things come up, like, nope, go back in the river and just keep doing what you're doing.
It's good to know that, isn't it?
Yes, because, you know, etiquette and manners are something, a value that I hold pretty close to my heart.
Yeah.
And so I think just for, I just interpret it as so appallingly rude. You know, it was just very unattractive.
Yeah, so there's that, and there can also be the thought that, you know, what I Rebecca think is rude and unattractive may actually be in other people's eyes very beautiful. And so I'm not expressing that very well at all. But, you know, if you were required as part of your piercing call to really get up front and do something big on a sort of world stage, I'm not saying that that's it, but we're just taking the argument, on a world stage, that you would that you might critique that as being a bit too out there and a bit too steamrollering, whereas another person, and therefore not for you, whereas another person might say, but if you do that, you're going to influence so many people, you're going to give people this gift that you've got. Why do you see that as brassy and aggressive and rude, when actually it's something that we want to hear? I'm not saying that's it, but, you know, there are many ways and many perspectives right. to look at a part of oneself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it just resonates with me that it's a way of, even in the exploration, it's almost like the fear of something like that, it's steamrolling myself,
yes.
you know?
Yeah, fear the great steamroller. So it's investigating and possibly with the help of further dreams screening near you mm-hmm. very soon, that will investigate exactly what those fears are and why you have those particular fears, why, you know, where they emerge from within your life experiences, why you might fear being right out there, or maybe doing things that you don't feel are natural to you, whatever, and exploring those fears and seeing, well, where am I, which one of those fears I can name are potentially steamrolling something which is actually rather beautiful. It's also, to me, you know, listening to your story there, and it's funny because I've heard in the past few months quite a few people say similar things. Say I'm doing this meaningful work. I've had this thing that I've been doing, but I'm kind of feel there's something else. You know, what else is it that I can contribute? And each of those people that I'm thinking of are people that have actually done amazing things in the world. Amazing things, and are still looking for that extra step. So this, I don't know whether it's hanging in the air. I don't know whether it's post-COVID, post-lockdown. I don't know what it is. There's some sense that a lot of people are going, yeah, so I'm kind of ready for the next step, but I'm not sure what it is. So I love the way that your dream shows you that while in waking life, you have chosen to just wait and see what appears. Your dream is running through possible interruptions to you receiving what that calling is.
Hmm.
And those interruptions yes. are in the shape of one and two. So knowing what those interruptions are, you can, and that brings me, I guess, to another metaphor of the dream. The first one, you've got that really entrancing, beautiful voice that you can hear. And these lady performers two and three interrupt that voice that you can hear. So another sort of level of the same interpretation is saying that these fears or whatever represented by woman two and three are, and there's the sadness, Rebecca, are possibly drowning out your ability to hear the next evolution. Mm-hmm. So those fears or that steamrolling are maybe getting in the way of you hearing how it evolves from there.
Yes, that really resonates.
Mm. So because I've just realized we're sort of eating up our time, we should move to a possible dream alchemy here. And we've got so much potential. Oh, my goodness. You know, you could actually, you know, apart from the sort of more common dream alchemies, which are visualizations and artwork and things, we've also got body possibilities here, kinesthetic things, you know, ways to move your body in somersaults and figures fours and crane dances. And then we've got ways to use your voice in entrancing and piercing calls. We've got bird work. We've got all kinds of things to do. I know that you are very deeply into dream work, Rebecca. What stands out to you as the kind of thing that you would like to alchemize in this dream? What would you like to change or explore through dream alchemy?
I think the fears of two and three. And so I'm thinking the somersaults might be good.
Yes.
Because she was the most... the one I was most appalled at.
Yeah, I love it.
So getting to know her might be good.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so there are two possibilities there, and I would do both. One is to go off and somersault, just somersault, and make sure you keep it fun. And while you're doing the somersaulting, banish any thoughts of steamrolling from your mind. So the opposite of steamrolling would be in your mind's eye. What's the opposite of steamrolling? Not the logical opposite, just the opposite of steamrolling is...
Smoothing.
Smoothing, I
Well, it's
love
kind
it.
of the same thing,
Yeah.
but I was thinking gentle.
Gentle.
You know, like even when you like to soothe your child, you know, and you're like smoothing your hand across their brow, like that seems the
Yes.
opposite of
I love
steamrolling
that.
to
That's
me.
great. And that's kind of like moves from the gentle cranes to the somersaulting too. So what I would do, Rebecca, is I would do some somersaulting, and as you'll do it as slowly as you can. So not in a kind of dynamic. You can do it dynamic as well, but also do it slowly and have this feeling that your body is soothing the very floor or mat that you are somersaulting on, so that you are giving to the ground upon which you are somersaulting a gentle, soothing kind of feeling. And at the same time as you imagine that, you notice that it is giving that to you as well, that your the skin and the muscles and the tendons and the bones on your back as you're somersaulting are equally being soothed, as if a mother's hand is passing across a child's brow. It's a two-way process.
Yes, that's beautiful.
And just doing that. So for people listening in, what Rebecca will be doing is tuning into one of her natural talents as a child, which is somersaulting, but totally turning on its head the energy of the somersault and the dream, transforming it into something beautiful and gentle and a two-way giving. What I give out comes back to me as well. And so that is softening that fear and exploring that fear and changing it into something, changing that fear of what I might steamroll into a love of what I might be able to soothe in the world out there and within myself through doing this. Does all that make sense, Rebecca?
Yes, it does. Yes,
Okay.
I really like that a lot.
That's really lovely. You know, I have a feeling that there'll be some people listening in that will be very inspired by some of the particular symbols in this dream, you know, because we all resonate with bits and pieces of other people's dreams. But it's such a visual and also with all the songs in it that I'm sure there'll be at least one person, if not several hundred or more, that will say, you know, I really love the feeling of that crane dance, or I love the feeling of that somersault, I'm going to do that, or I'd love the feeling of that evocative voice. And I think there might be a few artists out there going off and painting some lovely pictures relating from your dream into their own life. So thank you for bringing your delightful dream for us to explore on the Dream Show, Rebecca.
Oh, and thank you so much for the opportunity. It's just meant so much. So thank you so much.
Thank you, it's an absolute pleasure. That was lovely, wasn't it? I wonder how many of you are now thinking of going off and painting or drawing some aspect of that dream. And I'm sure many of you are now going to perhaps take some of those thoughts and insights into your own days to explore. If you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, as you know, it's a you volunteer, just go to janetheresa.com, go to the menu, go to the Dream Show podcasts, go to the drop-down box, and you'll see one called Be a Guest on the Dream Show. You simply fill in a little form, you give a little bit of information about yourself, but you definitely don't tell me about your dream that you want to bring. And then we will contact you and arrange a time to bring you on the show. For many of you, I will be speaking with between now and next month, but our next episode of the Dream Show comes out on 6th of October 2022. If you're listening to this in real time, that will be episode 261. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.